conveys what happens when we pass. It's a celebration that we're going home. Anyway, I'm going to give you, if you don't have it, a little bit of the Patrick story. Patrick is not Irish. He's English. And he would live on the western side in the middle of England, and it would probably be close to what we would know today as Wales, is where his family farm was, and his name is Patrick, and it comes out of the Latin name for patrician, which would mean landowner. And so, and yes, my middle name is Patrick, so you have to put up with me that way. Anyway, so here is Patrick. He's 16 years old, and the barbarians from Ireland get on their boat, and they come over to England, and just the shore, whatever's right next to the shore, and they rape, pillage, and steal whatever they can find. And one of them was this young one whose name was Patrick. He was 16 years old, and he's taken back to Ireland, and the person who bought him as a slave would put him out with the sheep. There is no tent, and there is no food. He's on his own. And for almost 5 years, Patrick would be on the hills of Ireland. And they call it the Isle of Green because it's green most of the time. It rains a lot. Its temperature is a lot like Seattle, if you have that in your head. It's pretty much the same kind of topography and weather. So it rains a lot, coming right off the ocean, the Atlantic. Anyway, he's there about 5 years, and then in a dream, he starts to realize that he doesn't want to stay at Ireland. He doesn't want to be a slave. And so he starts to look for a way to escape. And one morning early, he notices that there were some ships out in the bay, and he runs down to the ships, and they take him back to England. Now he's 21, 22 years old, and he starts to remember the faith of his grandmother. And he begins to realize that his time in Ireland was what he would call, and this is a quote from him, the tribulation of my life. Because I had to wrestle, not with being a slave to this Irish thug, but a slave to sin. And he says, it was the tribulation of my life that I had to wrestle with my unbelief because of difficult things that happened to me. How many of you have known that in your life when you struggle, you have tribulations, you begin to doubt your faith? Welcome to Patrick. So now you're all in the same place. While he's there in England with his family reuniting, he decides he needs to grow in his faith. So he goes over to France and he meets up with believers for 7 years. And in those 7 years, Patrick begins to realize how immature he's been. During that time, he starts to get a longing to love his enemies. Isn't that interesting? So he goes back to mom and dad and family, the clan, and that's what they would have been known there in that part of England, a clan. And he realizes that that isn't where he's to stay. And so he grabs a boat and goes back to Ireland. And as a slave, if you showed up in Ireland and you had run away, that can kill you on the spot. And so he doesn't have any mode of transportation. He's got no place to live. He becomes a wanderer. Today in Eastern Europe, some of Sue's family would have called them gypsies. They just wander about. And so he is wandering. And during his wandering, he starts to have a broken heart for the people that enslaved him. And so he starts to talk about forgiveness, grace, and miracles. And when you read his the actual story of him being around, you find out that they didn't have really a New Testament to work out of. Those things have been burned by the Goths in about the 300 through the 500. All of the libraries in Europe were burned, and they were now called, do you know, the Dark Ages, because people couldn't read. And so here's Patrick, who's now explaining just about Jesus. And he's telling the stories of forgiveness and grace and the miracles, but not much of the epistles. It's really just about Jesus. And the people that had enslaved him are starting, because he would track you down. If you were one of his slaveholders, he'd track you down and go eyeball to eyeball and forgive you. And there were people in Ireland that couldn't handle that. They couldn't have somebody say, I forgive you. It's now Easter Eve in Ireland. And if you know anything about that part of the world, they would do things with bonfires at night, probably about midnight. And they would have bonfires all over the place. And the king, his actual name is a chieftain. Chiefs in Ireland had little land holdings. But the chieftain was the high king. His area in that part of Ireland was called Tara. And he was up waiting because he was going to start his bonfire for the pagan or the druid god. And if you've read much on the druids, you know that they worshiped rivers and rocks and trees. And so here they are in Ireland. Really is a pagan place. It really is. And their high king, his name is Logera. And he is the chieftain or the high king. Chieftain is Gaelic for high king in English. And he is waiting to start his bonfire. What you may not know is that that particular translation is a thin or a weak translation for what it was. It was actually called a bone fire. And what they did was they would capture certain people on in certain places. They would burn people alive. Hence the name bone fire. But in English, we have a squeezy stomach for that. So high schools now call them bonfires. So what you have now is that Patrick has got his fire put together and he lights it, and it's Easter Eve. And before the high king could have his bonfire, there's already a fire. And you can see it off in the distance. And the king is absolutely enraged. And he gets all of his soldiers and they march to that fire. And there's Patrick. Now at this time, Patrick wasn't very effective in Ireland. And this king says, we're going to kill you. And he, classically Irish, says, so? All you can do is kill the body. You cannot kill the soul. And that's okay with me. And the king was so taken back that over the next 2 years he kept pondering what Patrick was teaching in various places. He heard rumor. And that high king becomes a believer. And that's what broke loose all of the pagan tendencies in the Isle of Green in Ireland. If you don't have it in your head, Patrick was born in 389 over in England, and he died March 17th, 461. And what's fascinating is that where that Patrick built his fire is on a hill in County Meath called Slane, S-L-A-I-N-E. And some of us, Randy in particular and I, both have this affinity towards things of Irish nature. And if you were to come north to south and cut it in half, just like if you were to cut Ohio in half, the middle of Ohio is Columbus. If you were to cut Ireland in half, on the west coast is a town called Galway. And then as you come across, Ireland is only 3 hours east to west. It's 6 hours north to south. And he is going from Galway and then through a county that my grandmother came from. And it looks like Randy has some connections there too, called County Longford. And you can look on a map and actually see it. As you continue to head east, you come to this hill called County Meath. And on in County Meath is this hill called Slane. And that is, even this week, there will be people who will go to that hill and celebrate what happened with Patrick. What I need for you to begin to think about is that in spite of them taking him as a slave, Patrick loved his enemies. Hard to do, isn't it? How many of you have enemies? How many of you struggle to love your enemies? Here's the tough part. I can't let you off the hook. There's no way I can let you off that hook. If you do have enemies and you haven't been able to love them, say to your neighbor,
neighbor.
And point your finger. You have work to do. And so that's one of the hard things about the Christian faith, is that we actually have difficult things that we have to do. You know, in Luke, it would say, if anyone were to come after me, if anyone wants to be a follower of me, they must first, and here's the hard part, deny themselves and pick up their cross and follow. I can't let you off the hook for difficult things. They're hard things. And they were hard 1,000 years ago. It's 1,600 years ago. Patrick was moving around that aisle. Now here's some other things that you may not know about Patrick and what he did. For those of you who have a Catholic background, I have a Catholic background. Mom was Episcopalian, but my dad, Roman Catholic, and the Catholic Church never consecrated Patrick as a saint, even to today. Crazy. He changed that whole island. But the problem with Patrick is that he did some things that they didn't like. And here's one of them. There would be Patrick would start to reach into a community, and it says it's with David and Denise. And so Patrick would ordain both of them as pastors in that community, male and female. And it's the only time in the history of the Catholic Church that the Catholic Church had women priests. And they were so embarrassed that 400 years later, they sent somebody back to Ireland to straighten it out. The thing that you may not know is that for the almost 300 years from the year that Patrick died, for then 300 years more, the Ireland experience or the Celtic experience of faith sent out more missionaries into the world than the rest of the world combined. And they would send them out as husband and wife. So for those of you ladies who have ever wondered, is there a place for women in the church? The answer is yes, and there's always been a place. It's just that some people don't know what to do with you. Husbands. So the question is, how many of you husbands don't know what to do with your wives?
Amen.
But there is this sense in the history of the church that we would go into the world as husband and wives to change the world that we lived in. And it's really wonderful when you begin to think about what happened. Anyway, let's get back to Slane Hill. Slane Hill has become a historical, significant place in Irish history. And 100 years after Patrick, so this would be probably it would be about 550 is when this took place. There would be a blind poet. His name is Dallon, D-A-L-L-O-N, Forgill. And he's a blind poet. And so he was tinkering with various poems, and he would write in Gaelic, the word is a lorica, but that means a prayer of protection. How many of you, me included, have prayed for protection for you and your loved ones? In Gaelic, that would be called a lorica. What happened is that he wrote this poem, and the poem would be by Thusa, my slain. Now, slain, of course, is the hill. Thusa is thou. By is be. And that song that we will sing here in a second is Be Thou My Vision. And over in the Royal Academy over in Ireland, there are two copies from the 8th century of this song, and it hasn't changed much from its original. And it's a prayer that Dallin would write as a thing to say thank you to the Father about what he did. Because Patrick not only gave the people in Ireland the gospel, but he gave them his very lives. One other scripture verse that I would have for you to hear would be in Hosea 22, or 2, 23, it would be this verse. I will call them my people who were not my people. And I will call her beloved who was not my beloved. And in the autobiography of Patrick at the end of his life, he would say that that phrase, that scripture verse from Hosea, is a fulfillment of that verse in Ireland, because they were not his people, and yet he called them his own. And so if you struggle with people who are the beloved pagans, understand that pagans are for whom Jesus died. How many of you understand that you were once a pagan? The great news is that Christ died for you. As a matter of fact, it would say in Romans 5, Christ died for you when you were yet sinners. Isn't that amazing? So picture yourself on a Harley as a pagan, going the other way from God above. Sorry for the vernacular, and you're flipping God the finger. That's who he came for. While you were yet a sinner, God died for you. And he was more concerned about your lostness than he was about your sin. Isn't that remarkable? And Patrick was more concerned that these pagans didn't understand life, so he could see past what they did to him so that they could know Jesus. The last thing I would say to you, if you have non-Christian friends, and I do, it's kind of fun to be out with them every once in a while, and you just have to close your ears to certain language. But I'm not sure there's any of the language they'll use that you haven't heard. There's no news here. Why do people come to faith? There is a book by the name of Celtic Evangelism by the name of George Hunter would write it. And he would say people come to faith for three reasons. They come because of content. They want to hear about Jesus. And so I would have for all of you to be very aware when you get the chance. Don't talk about all the sidebar issues about the Christian faith. Talk about Jesus. Jesus is the only one worth talking about. All the other stuff is sidebar stuff. Let all that other stuff go. Talk about Jesus. Content. Then the second one would be people come to faith because they're looking for a community of people to be with. How many of you have known that you needed a community of people to be with? Me too. Matter of fact, in high school, I was wandering around, and there were all these cute girls in a Bible study. Guess who joined the Bible study? I'm not blind. But it's this sense of being a part of a community. And it was through the community that I heard about Jesus. So it's content, Jesus, community of faith, and the last one would be character issues. I have friends right now that are alcoholics, and they refuse to admit it. And yet their lives are coming apart at the seams. And occasionally they will say, "Bill, help me." I'm like, "I'm not sure you want my help." "Sure I do." Well, then we need to take a hard look at some things. Are you okay with having people take a look at your life and saying, "You know, I think you're out of bounds. You're ruining your own life." That's what sin does. It ruins your life. Notice, character issues. So as you think about people around you who, even Easter, people come to church 2 days out of the year who never come any other time. They come on Christmas and Easter. Some of those friends will be here, and somebody's going to have to explain to them about Jesus, about being in a community that loves you in spite of yourself. So go ahead and point to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor. In spite of yourself." And we all laugh because we know it's true for us too. And then the last one is character issues. There are always things that God is prodding us, nudging us to own. So hear that phrase that I repeated coming out of the book of Luke. It says, "For anyone who were to come and follow me, you must first," you know the word, "deny yourself." Yeah. Are there things in your life that you've had and it lingers? Amen. That you need to start to say, "I need to let that go. I need to burn whatever that is. I need to move away from that." You see how it works? There's these three things. And when you come into Christ for one of the three, you get the other two. And that's part of us growing in our journey of faith. So we're going to sing "Be Thou Thy Vision," or in Gaelic, if you want to practice it, it's "By Thusa Ma Slain, Be Thou My Vision." And one of the things that Dallin wrote, which is just kind of funny when you read the words, and you're going to hear it up here, is he writes, "The High King of Heaven." Well, there was only the King of Ireland was called the High King. And so he's saying to the High King, "There's only one High King, and it's not you." So it's an in-your-face kind of thing. Imagine that, Christians who at times get in somebody's face. Anyway, so let's do "Be Thou Thy Vision." Karen, if you could move up there. And then we'll finish this up. Here, don't be running away. Get yourself back. Ladies, if we could pray for this motley group of people. Let's have a benediction. Jesus, we are grateful for this time together. We're grateful that you love us. We're grateful that as people, we can enjoy our lives. And thank you for the pie that's downstairs. In God's name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and everyone says,
Amen.
Go get them.
There is also cheese.